Kowski. I said, I don't know, is this normal? Is this what you normally do out here in Jersey? And he's like, well, kinda. I said, we do tents and hot dogs and hamburgers. We roll like that a lot. And he's like, yeah, that's not how we do. I said, all right. I said, well, what do I do? I said, there's a lot of food around here, and I don't know what to do. He's like, well, you eat it. I said, oh, okay. I said, well, this is a tremendous meal. He's like, this isn't the meal. This is just get you ready for the meal. They were walking around with platters of lamb chops. Not like little cucumber sandwiches and, you know, like tuna fish. Lamb chops. Shrimp. And they were making mozzarella right there, wrapping it in prosciutto. And it was everywhere. I mean, there was food everywhere. Good, good food. So what'd you have for dinner? I don't even know. Like, it was... We had filet mignon for dinner. What? And then there's Nathan and Karen, and they called them out, or like called them in, and they announce them, and the whole bridal party's lined up, and they have the first dance together. And man, just so sweet, just their innocence and their love for one another, and man, it touched my heart. It reminded me how it ought to be done. Here we have two young people that save themselves for each other. And so this wasn't just like, hey, I got a wedding on Saturday, I'm going. I didn't officiate, didn't do anything. I felt really strange. I offered my services, they denied them. I don't know. This wasn't just like, hey, we got a wedding. It took a lot of planning, a lot of preparation because it was out of town. So we've been preparing for this wedding for some time. So this message or this thought this morning has really been in the making in my head and heart just because we've been getting ready. I mean, we got five kids to distribute across the county, trying to get them covered and watched because it was no kid wedding, which was nice. And so we're trying to figure that out, and we're trying to. And New Jersey isn't, you know, Penfield. It's far away, and so the thought of weddings was just on your mind. It was a beautiful wedding. The ladies looked beautiful. The guys, I mean, Mike Faulkner even looked nice, and it was nice. I know that was a lot, and. And just the innocence of it, and as Brother Rizzo was Karen's pastor, and if you've gone to Summit, you've seen he's the man that supplies the funds for the Matt Guzzi Foundation and the scholarship for the one kid to go to Christian College for free. He pays their year. And they've been doing that for a number of years. So Brother Rizzo is that, and he's also a pastor of City Baptist Church in Hoboken. And so he officiated it. And as I'm sitting there and I'm watching all the things transpiring, I was immediately reminded of Ephesians chapter 5 about not just a husband and wife, but about Christ and the church. So this morning, quickly, we're not going to preach a wedding here, but we are going to analyze the wedding in view of Christ and the church this morning. I like studying the Old Testament, and I try and put myself in the Old Testament. This past week, in our lesson in our young adults class, we did 2 Samuel chapter 3 with Joab and Abner. That doesn't end well for Abner. Abner says, hey, I would like to make an... Ishbosheth has gone too far. My allegiance is now to David. Well, Abner killed Joab's brother, and Joab just couldn't let that go. And even though David called for Abner, Joab calls for Abner, and he's like, hey, I want to talk to you out back. And that's exactly what he does. He says, come on out back. And he takes him behind the gate and places his sword underneath his fifth rib. And Abner stopped breathing. And I look at that and go, well, how does that apply to me? And I think, well, there was a breakdown of communication somehow, David, between Joab and... And I look at my life and I go, okay, I can see myself in that passage. And we look for illustrations like that. As we read through the scriptures, we try and draw these applicable thoughts and ideas. Well, Christ, God, says, I'm going to define one for you. I'm going to institute something that is not only going to be wonderful for you here and beautiful, but I'm going to use that as a picture of something. And as we read Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 21 through 33, let's consider this. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5. I know we don't do that every time, but I'm going to think of it up. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. So as we read this passage, yes, husbands, you can be nudged by your wife when your part comes up, right? But I want you to focus in on Christ to the church. Verse 23 again. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. See, that's why this applies to Anthony. So he's not married. Yeah, but he's part of the church. Not Walker Bible Baptist Church. He's a Christian. That's why this applies to Mrs. Hartman this morning. Say, oh, Grandpa Hartman, he passed away a long time ago. Yeah, but we're members of the body of Christ. So therefore, there's an application here. And he might, in verse 27 again, then he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray, and then you'll be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this morning. God, our desire here this morning is to worship you. That God, from your holy throne, you'll look down and be pleased with the hearts and the words and the actions of this place. That it exalts you and that you're magnified in our lives and in our eyes. Lord, I pray that you'd use this passage to, Lord, describe the intimate care that you have for your church. And that, God, we would be the bride that you so desire. Lord, again, thank you for these that are here. And Lord, I pray that it'd be a blessing and a help. And Lord, where necessary, it would be a rebuke and a reproach. But we would walk out of here exalting you all the more. Lord, we love you, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. The very first social relationship that God established upon earth between people was between a man and a woman. He didn't make up best buddies. Adam didn't get John first. Eve didn't get Mary. I don't know. Think of 100 names, and I couldn't think of a woman's name. That's not what he did. He had Adam, and then he made Eve. I've done some marriage counseling and premarital counseling. I like premarital counseling. They're excited. They're in love, right? And they look over at each other, and the other one can do no wrong. And it's like, let me help you, and just talk about some things. I'm going to remind you that the person that you're basking. Are you even hearing me, you two? You know, and we have a union of two unholy sinners. It's like, that's no way to talk about ladies. Yeah, that's the truth, though. Say, yeah, she's a mess. So are you, sir. And we take sin, full nature, and we bring them together. And there's somewhere, some way along the line, there's going to be a difficulty. Someday you might find yourself at the what you would consider a deal breaker. Just heard a message about how important it is to remove the word divorce. Fix it. We are reminded that a marriage is a union between two imperfect people, because we're still sinners. Now, is that a license to sin? No. That's the reality of the relationship. So our illustration from the very get-go begins somewhat flawed, in that husband and wife, two humans, sinful by nature. Now, this is a picture of Christ in the church. The church, not perfect. Christ, perfectly perfect. But we do take example from it, and we can learn from it. God established it between a man and a woman. The very definition of marriage is being attacked. And unless we're vocal, unless we stand up for it, it's going to keep going further and further away. Who would have thought that it'd be what it is today? Brother Sutliff, if I told you when you were a child, hey, a couple years down the road, it's going to be okay for... You would have said, you are crazy. There's no way in this America that's going to happen. What's going to happen 2 decades from today? I don't know. But it's not designed by God. Because we see what He designed. We see a union. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2. My desire this morning is to not just draw attention to the physical, but also to the spiritual this morning. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones." Who's he talking about? Eve. "And flesh of my flesh, and shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." I think it's interesting, the command that's given here. Who does he tell to leave father and mother? The only two people ever created with no father and mother. Why would he say that? Because it wasn't just for them. It was for us. He was establishing a pattern of what he wanted. You know, when we come to Christ, there ought to be some things that we leave behind. We ought to leave some things behind. There's an old nature. There's an old way. There's a way you used to act is lost. But now I'm with Christ. Mike and his toast was talking to Nathan in front of everyone about previous girlfriends. My mouth was open. What are you doing? Someone get the mic from Michael. That's not going to go well. We don't want to talk about those things. Because these two now are together as one. Imagine if Nathan wandered back to go. I just want to go visit. That's not going to go well for Karen. She ought not to allow that. Hey, I'm saved now as a child of God, but I just want to go tamper with the things that I used to mess with a little bit. No. We've left those things. And now we cleave to Christ. The spiritual union with Christ. Galatians chapter 3. How many of you would recommend today? I mean, here's they're on their way, I think, to Virginia to celebrate their honeymoon, and would encourage Nathan, hey, why don't you call up that old girlfriend of yours? Just check in on the way down. Speakerphone. No. And you look at that and go, that would be absurd. Why would anybody do that? It would compromise their relationship. Why would you introduce that? Why on earth, after coming to Christ, would we be so quick to run back to the very thing that He saved us out of? No one in their right mind would ever. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. One. And the two shall be made one. The union. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. It was a beautiful wedding yesterday. And I'm glad I was there. It was hard to get there. It was a lot of work. It was costly. But I'm glad I was there. Because it reminded me again of what Christ has done. And my role to Him. Now, it's a little harder for me to identify with the Karen side, but that's the side I come in as. I'm the bride. Christ is the groom. It's hard for me to get that because I'm a man. And I look awful in a dress. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2 says, talks about the relationship between me and Christ. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That's what God wants. Yesterday was a beautiful wedding. We saw a union of two people. You saw something that you don't get to see every day. Purity. Rhonda will tell you, I'm a little sappy. The older I get, the sappier I get. And, yeah, brother, I come in, I'm talking to Mr. Faulkner, and there he is. And I'm like, man, what a great day. Congratulations. He's crying. Mr. Faulkner's crying. It's just so beautiful, and I just love him so much. And, you know, Mr. Faulkner. And there they are, and Brother Rizzo standing there, and, you know, and because he only has one arm. And so he's standing there, and he says, all right, you can kiss the bride. And there he leans over, and he kisses her. They're holding hands, and then he just hugs her. It was just so sweet. It wasn't, you ever see the kiss, and then, like, she's like, you know, like, this is embarrassing. He just, it wasn't like, pick you up, spin you around. It was just a pure hug of just sweetness. Say, what'd you do? I cried. Because it's something you don't get to see every day. It was pure. It was innocent. It was lovely. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. If Nathan could be beautiful, it was beautiful. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, he says. For I have espoused you to one husband, that's Christ, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I don't know all the details of their past, but I do know there were two pure young people standing there. It touched my heart and reminded me how we ought to be before the Lord. Pure. Not only was it a beautiful union, it was beautiful in its purity. They went through, and there they are looking at each other, and Brother Rizzo was doing the vows, and man, it seemed like they were long vows. Yeah. Do you agree? Now, there were a lot of words in these vows, and they just kept repeating whatever he said, but I think they were just concentrating on saying the words. Verbal commitment of what they felt. Verbal commitment of what they felt. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I've never seen anybody at a wedding where the pastor, the minister, the officiant says, all right, repeat after me. And the guy's like, no, I ain't doing it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say those words. I don't have to. I know it. She knows it. Never seen that before. I don't think that would go very well. I think if I was a pastor, I'd say, then I can't marry you. If you're not going to verbally commit to the person standing next to you, this is not going to go good. This is destined for disaster. All right. You're a sinner and you've offended a holy, righteous God, and God has paid the price for your salvation, and now you just need to confess your sin. That's embarrassing. I'm not doing that. I'm not sure how well this union's going to go. Because the Scripture says that you need to make a verbal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Yesterday, it was quite evident that Nathan and Karen loved each other, but it sure was good to hear it. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He's not ashamed. She took on his last name. She's not ashamed of him. Are you a Christian? Well, you know, I go to church once in a while. Are you ashamed of who you're espoused to? Are you nervous about being identified as a Christian? Have you made verbal vows of your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. there's a phrase that goes around quite a bit, and being old school, right? What does that mean? Well, it just means that I'm not part of the modern movement. Old school. Two people walk down the aisle and they pledge their love to it, and that was it. My grandparents have been married 60-some years. Say, oh, what a sweet thing. Not always. My grandfather wasn't always the sweetest. But they stuck with it because they were committed. This Christianity thing sometimes gets a little difficult. Stick with it. You're committed. Well, I don't know. They picked carpet chloride and like, I'm out. Are you kidding me? They never sing my favorite song. I'm out. Imagine if we approached every relationship how we approach the church. I pray that you have a commitment to your marriages. But there's a commitment to Christ. So while I'm here this morning, that's good. But what about your commitment? How about when it gets difficult? If a man vow a vow, you better keep it. We're sitting there and we're all in these seats, really nice padded seats. They're like seats like this, but they were really fancy. They were golden and they had they kind of rocked a little bit. You could like rock in them. It was really cool. It was nice. Brother Rice, you like those? Yeah, those are nice. They had mirrors on the walls that were enormous. I don't know how you order that or who you call for that stuff, but it's like, I need the biggest mirror that you've ever seen, and I need three of them. And that's what was there. And everyone was dressed up so nice. And we were there for the ceremony. Now, those two could have run down to the Justice of the Peace and got a legal document and been done with it. But instead, they invited some people. And we were part of a ceremony. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. So how long is this going to go? Well, we're at the ceremony now, so you can kind of see how the message is going to progress, right? We'll get to the reception, we'll do some gifts, and then we'll go home. All right? That's how we'll do. Just so you can keep track. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. There we were yesterday. People coming in, and the best men come in, and they seat the mothers, and then the ladies come in one by one, and they have their little bouquets, right? And they're doing the wedding march. You know how it goes, right? You know, that smile, slow, so pretty. And then the doors close. Music changes. Boom! Doors open up. There's Dad, right? And a beautiful bride. Prepared. She didn't look like she just woke up. No. Never seen her in that dress before. She'll probably never wear it again. She'll probably keep it all her life. Maybe give it to her daughter. But there they come. Music changes. Everybody stands. Why? Because the bride is prepared for the groom. The lamb is ready to receive. In verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. There she comes in and her... Say, why are they always wearing white dresses? Right there. It represents something. And there she comes. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. In Ephesians 5:26, again referencing the church again, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know why they keep the bride away from everybody before the wedding? So no spots get on the dress. Accidents happen. Little people run around with things. Oh, it's Aunt Karen, look. And there's sticky hands on it. You can't fix that. So we keep her all by herself, off to the side, until that special day. Separated from any uncleanness. As the church, we ought to be separated from any uncleanness. As best as we possibly can, that we could present ourselves to Christ that day, holy and without blemish. It would have been sad if she came in and she had a big grease stain on her. Oh, man. There were witnesses, friends and family. In Hebrews chapter 12, we are told that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Man, it's good to be serving the Lord with other people. As they were walking back down, there they said, I do. They did the kiss and the hug. So sweet. And then they're walking down and, hi, hi, so good to see you. Hi. You know, he's got her in her arms. Hi, I'm so glad you made it. Saying hello to friends and family. We're at the reception. They're going table by table. Man, it is such a privilege to have you here. The privilege to be here. Man. It's like you guys mean so much to us. And he made an announcement thanking everybody that you're not here by accident, that you had influence in their lives. Man, I can't wait to get to heaven and just go mansion by mansion. Brothers, thank you. It's so good to see you here. Man, I'm surprised you were here. Honestly, I didn't think I would see you here. Isn't that how some weddings are, right? It's like, never would have thought you'd make it. I didn't know you would be invited to this one. And maybe heaven's going to be like that. How'd you get in? Same way you did. The blood of Christ. Man, I'm so glad you were here. Man, you helped me. I was at a low point, and person by person, friends and family, witnesses. We witnessed something yesterday. A union, a commitment between two people. And you know what? I'm going to hold them to it. I'm going to remind them. Pastor Russo, things are tough. I don't know. Culturally, we're a little different, and I'm having a rough time, and she's sweet, you know? Pastor Russo, he doesn't understand me. All right, let's work it out. Because you guys made a commitment. Let me help you. Let me encourage you to keep going. Witnesses. There were decorations. At the table, there's the vases were this big. And then on top of that were flower arrangements. Am I kidding? Sarah's not saying yes. Am I kidding? How big were they? You show. Yeah, how big were they? Chris knew all the flowers. Chris Buck, he's telling us. These are these. I'm like, dude, give me your man card. Give me that. They're flowers. That's what they are. No man ought to know all the different... No God-fearing man ought to know that. They're beautiful. All these decorations and chandeliers. And it was amazing. It's like I didn't even know places like this existed. And now I'm sitting in it. You know, one day we're going to walk through the gates of glory. And we're going to come walking in it. We walked in and like the entranceway was like real Italian marble floor. Real. It wasn't like, oh yeah, you can pick that stuff up at Lowe's. That was imported. We're going to get to heaven and put foot to gold. We're going to walk upon gold. The decorations that are in heaven are going to be something extravagant. The doors are made of precious stones. Everybody wore their finest clothes. The waiters were in tuxedos. White gloves. They served you with white gloves. Our waiter never talked to us. But I felt like he was talking down to us. Like he would bring a plate and he would move one fork out of the way and like slam the salad fork. Boom. Like, use that one. Like I think he pulled up the short straw by getting table 11. That's what I think. Because we were out, we didn't know what was going on. We're like looking around, we're out of place, and I think he could tell. We did the best we could. Beautiful decorations, finest of clothes. There was an announcement, a presentation of the bride of Christ. Again, I don't know how it's all going to go in heaven, but I just wonder if the Father is going to be sitting upon His throne and His Son, the Lamb, is going to be seated at the right hand. The Son stands and here comes the church. Ladies and gentlemen, all creatures now entering the bride. And the angelic host shouts for glory. The scriptures were read yesterday. And the books were open. Just so many pictures of what I saw yesterday made me think about heaven. Made me think about my relationship with Christ. What He desires of me. And then what I am. The reception to follow. Are you still in Revelation 19? If you're not, look at verse 9. If you are, Revelation 19, we're almost done. So here comes the bride, adorned for the bride of or the groom. In verse 9, and He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what we had yesterday. A supper. To beat it all. I wonder what's going to be at heaven. At the marriage supper of the Lamb. I have some thoughts. I have some personal preferences. I have some things I would like to not see. We won't get into that. But what's going to be there? What's that table going to be like? Say, there's no table big enough. Do you understand the inhabitation of eternity? There's no end. Pull up a chair anywhere. How many chairs are at this table? The perfect amount. Enough. One for everybody. And there we fellowship. The reception. That's why we do that after. The emotions of yesterday. I think everybody outside of Karen's dad was really excited. Poor guy, you know. His daughter's going away. That's got to be tough. He held it like a champ. You could tell when he was walking down. He was kind of stern a little bit. He punched Nathan. So you could tell there was something there. Look at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. This morning, the beautiful wedding. We saw a perfect union, purity. We saw vows. We saw a ceremony. We saw a reception. Here's some of the emotions of the day. Luke chapter 15 and verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. Nathan Faulkner. Woo! Cheering and clapping. Now entering heaven, Brian Knobb. Woo! Next up, Ed Bauman. Woo! Person after person after person. Oh, look, he's about to 7-year-old boy just trusted Christ, and the angelic host shouts for glory. It was a joyful day yesterday. There was a lot of joy and there was a lot of love. 1 John chapter 3. We'll look at this verse. We'll briefly talk about the gifts, and then we'll be dismissed. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He hath laid down His life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Here we see this connection between us and Christ. What is it? He gave His life up for us. The way that the marriage supper and the bride of Christ and the groom coming together with the Lamb, Christ had to die. Had to give Himself up. Isn't that similar to what Ephesians chapter 5 says? The love by which you are to love your spouse, men, is to give your life up for them. That's the commitment of love. And that's what we saw yesterday. They were no longer living separate. They were living together. We are no longer living separate from Christ now. We are together. And the gifts. Anybody see the gift table? Where's the gift table? Where do you put the cards? Where do you put the stuff, right? Everyone brings a gift. That's what you're supposed to do. Say, what is that? Why do we do that? Well, we want to be a help and a blessing to them. Say, Nathan works at Harris. He doesn't need anything. They live in Holly. Karen, she's a nurse. They're good. They're all set. It represents something. You know, one day we're going to earn a reward from what we've done for Christ. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 that they cast their crowns down at the feet of Christ. I've said this before, but ever have that person in your family that's tough to get anything for? What do you get the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Pure service. To then it'll be converted into a crown, a reward to you that you then give back to him. Something that he actually wants. Ever get a gift that you didn't want? Right? I mean, they probably have on that table 6 blenders, right? And it's like, what are we going to do with all that? I mean, we can only blend so much. All right, we'll take some back. We don't need these. The Lord says, bring all the rewards. I want them all. Because he's worthy. Oh, worship the King. Our rewards as we bring those gifts. Hey, all of the things that happened yesterday were not by accident, but were representing of something. Something beautiful between mankind and God Himself. A union. And as we examined the union between man and woman, we can see our role as the church. Can I encourage you this morning to be spotless and pure? He's a jealous. Just as crazy as it would be for Nathan to, or Karen to call up a previous relationship, so is it for us to call up and go back to. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself clean. Because one day you're going to stand there in fine linen. Let's all stand. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to bring those rewards? Maybe you're here this morning and, again, there's 2 parts to this message. Maybe you want to grab your spouse and come and pray together. Lord, give us security. Give us love. Give us joy in our home. Give us union. May it always be pure. Just because it was pure that first day, oh, you got to work to keep it pure. You want to pray together. Maybe you want to come and talk to. Maybe you want to come talk to the groom. Maybe you want to come talk to the Lord. Keep yourself clean. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for a picture of Christ in the church and the union of man and woman. Lord, I pray that we would do our part in the relationship. Lord, you've done so much for us. Lord, we love you today. Lord, I'm thankful for the reminders. The reminders of what you've done and who you are and what you bring. And God, all the symbols of the earthly wedding to the spiritual. Lord, may we be faithful to you. Lord, bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?